Captain's log, stardate 46731.5. We're in the midst of the Volterra Nebula, a stellar nursery. Our three-week mission is a routine analysis of several dozen protostars in various stages of development.
Captain, I have completed the spectral evaluation of the outer shell. Our survey of this protostar is complete.
Ensign, lay on a course for the next one, three-quarters impulse.
Riker to Captain Picard.
Go ahead, number one.
May I see you in the observation lounge, sir?
He looks concerned.
I'll be right there.
The observation deck is in darkness as Picard enters. Stepping forward, he sees a ceramic statue on the table.
Oh, my God.
Then you can identify that object, Mr. Picard.
Professor Galen.
Computer, lights up.
I suppose I should say Captain Picard.
The professor contacted me from his shuttle about an hour ago. He suggested that we surprise you.
To clarify, I insisted and your first officer was good enough to accommodate me. I trust I'm not being overly presumptuous now that my star pupil is master of the stars.
Picard steps forward, his hand outstretched.
No one could be more welcome on the Enterprise. I never thought I would see a Kurlan Neskos. 5th Dynasty.
Is that your conclusion, Mr. Picard? Forgive me again, I should say, Captain.
No, please, Mr. will do fine. Well, the overall impression is certainly 5th Dynasty. The surface ornamentation...
Yes?
Green polychrome over the eyes, and the eyes themselves are closed. This is 3rd Dynasty. From the workshop of the Master of Tarquin Hill.
Well done.
Will, the Master of Tarquin Hill designed ceramic objects that were 300 years ahead of their time. All we know of him is the work. His name was never discovered. This object is over 12,000 years old.
The planet Curl. It's a hell of a long way outside Federation territory.
Indeed. I thought your study of Curlan artifacts was done long ago.
I happened to be in the neighborhood last summer. I couldn't resist. Go ahead.
Galen gestures to the statue.
You mean it's complete?
Picard puts a hand either side of the statue. The top half lifts off. There are several small objects inside.
Well, the Curlan civilization believed that an individual was a community of individuals. Inside us are many voices, each with its own desires, its own style, its own view of the world. The Curlan civilization died out thousands of years ago. It is extraordinarily rare to find a figurine intact. Professor, this is an incredible find.
It's yours, Jean-Luc.
Oh, no. No. How can I accept this?
Graciously, Mr. Picard. You could accept it graciously.
Galen places the top on the statue. Picard composes himself and places a hand on his heart.
Thank you. How long can you stay? There's so much to talk about.
The professor is scheduled to meet a Vulcan transport the day after tomorrow.
2 days, but that's not enough time.
We may have considerably more than that.
I don't understand.
I'm currently on an expedition, a journey into an unexplored and historical territory. And I intend to take you with me.
Picard stares, stunned, unable to speak. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled The Chase, voiced by Roland Behan. A comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet. The Starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat plains of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to a warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light.
Captain's log supplemental. It's been over 30 years since I last saw my archaeology professor. His presence has taken me back to a time when I had considered a very different career.
May I ask you a frank question?
Please.
Your published writings have been sporadic for the past decade. Your appearance at symposia has been rare, or scheduled and then cancelled at the last moment. The finest archaeologist of this century is now shrouded with a cloak of mystery.
And as a result, my reputation has no doubt grown.
I've never heard of anyone who didn't love a good mystery.
The Chitauran of Sosa 3 disdain them. But as a general idea, your statement holds.
So, what have you been doing for the past decade?
Are you familiar with micropaleontology?
Yes, it's the study of fossil records at the microscopic level. I read your papers on the subject, but that was years ago. It seemed as though the work had stopped.
No. The work continued. I made a discovery so profound in its implications that silence seemed the wisest course. This work has occupied my every waking thought. It's intruded upon my dreams. It's become my life. When finished, and I announce my findings, it'll be heard halfway across the galaxy.
Picard is intrigued.
Tell me.
I cannot, Mr. Picard. That information comes with a price. Your agreement to join me on the final leg of this expedition.
For how long?
3 months, perhaps a year. If I had complete diplomatic access and a starship, it'd be a matter of weeks. But as it is, we'll only have my shuttle and whatever arrangement we can make with transports, combined with our talents.
Why do you need my help in this?
I'm not a young man. There will be hazards along the way. I don't want my own inadequacies to jeopardize the completion of this work.
I am deeply honored that you should think of me, but I have responsibilities.
To history. What if you could have helped Schliemann discover the city of Troy, been with Mattel when she first stepped on Yassim? How can anything compare?
May I sleep on it?
Dream not of today, Mr. Picard.
Dream not of today. The night blessing of the Yashel.
As I recall, you missed that question on your final exam.
Well, I've had a few years to look it up. Professor, the Enterprise is yours for as long as you're here.
Thank you.
They rise and shake hands warmly.
Dream not of today.
In his ready room, Picard sits deep in thought, the statue next to him.
Come.
Good morning. Looks like you've been up for a while.
Yes.
Dr. Crusher smiles quizzically and pours a cup of tea.
Let's hear it.
I had a long talk with Professor Galen last night. He asked me to leave the Enterprise to join him in an archaeological expedition which could last for nearly a year.
That must be tempting.
I couldn't leave the Enterprise. But the offer raised in me certain feelings of regret.
That you could have been an archaeologist and not a starship captain?
No, not really. I'm not sorry for the path that I chose. But the professor did not choose this gift at random. The many voices inside the one. You see, he knows that the past is a very insistent voice inside me. And this gift is meant to remind me of that.
And the exploration of space, surely that must count for something.
I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I would still make the same choice that I made all those years ago. I just wish that I didn't have to say no to him a second time.
Were you two very close?
I had a father. But he was like a father who understood me. And he had his own children, but they didn't follow in his footsteps, so I was like the son who understood him.
And yet you turned your back on him.
Picard nods sadly, eyeing the statue.
In a way, I wish that he'd never come on board the ship.
Later, Galen is looking at a star chart as Picard enters.
Good morning, Mr. Picard.
Professor.
The Vulcan ship will take us as far as DS-4. An Al-Alien transport is scheduled to arrive at the station 3 weeks later, and they'll take us to Kyair, and then we'll use a shuttle to get us to Idri-8. Our first stop.
Professor? I'm afraid I won't be going.
The professor looks disappointed.
The Enterprise isn't something that I can leave and then come back to. If I go for good. And it's not something that I'm prepared to do.
This is not some undergraduate study project that you're turning down. There's the chance of a lifetime. Don't make the same mistake twice.
You don't believe that my career in Starfleet has been a mistake?
What are you doing at this very moment? A study mission. You're like some Roman centurion out patrolling the provinces, maintaining a dull and bloated empire.
We both know that's not true.
I know this. I know that as a scholar, you're nothing but a dilettante. Years ago, I gave you the opportunity to become the foremost archaeologist of your generation. Your achievements could have outstripped even my own, but no. You decided to reject a life of profound discovery, and you walked out on me.
I never wanted to become.
The professor is now almost in tears and fights for control.
Will you come with me?
I can't.
I'll be going.
But, Professor, you're not scheduled to catch the Vulcan ship for another 2 days.
There's nothing for me here. Goodbye, Captain.
Picard is visibly upset.
Captain's log, supplemental. We have completed our mission in the nebula and are en route to a diplomatic conference on Italia 7. I must admit, I've lost my enthusiasm for those proceedings.
At our present speed, we will arrive at the Italia system in 37 hours.
Captain, I'm going for a walk in the Arboretum. I wouldn't mind some company.
Captain, a distress call from Professor Galen's shuttle, on screen.
Enterprise, I'm being boarded.
Transmission has been blocked.
I have located the shuttle, sir. It is under attack.
Take us out of warp. On screen.
Hey, Iridian Destroyer.
Battle stations!
Aye, sir.
Professor Galen is still inside his vessel, sir. His life signs are barely registering.
Get him out of there.
The shuttle is enveloped by a tractor beam. The transporter cannot penetrate it.
Hail the Iridians.
They are not responding.
Return phaser fire. Disable their offensive systems.
The Enterprise's phaser vaporizes the Iridian vessel.
Worf!
I don't understand, Commander. The phaser blast was not powerful enough to destroy the ship.
Transporter room one, log on to Professor Galen and transport him directly to sickbay.
Aye, sir.
His face set, Picard strides to sickbay where his mentor is being examined by Dr. Crusher.
He took a disruptor hit point blank. There is nothing I can do.
Picard looks desperate as Galen's vital signs fade.
You Jean-Luc. I was too harsh.
The old man breathes his last and the monitors flatline. Picard looks devastated.
I'd say at least 3 Iridians boarded the professor's shuttle.
What did they want?
We're not sure, but it looks like they were trying to download something from his computer.
When he was attacked, Professor Galen began to protect certain files in his computer memory.
We were able to partially reconstruct the shuttle's computer, so at least we have some of those files. We found 19 different blocks of numbers like this one.
What do they mean?
They could mean anything. Unless we narrow the parameters of the search, it would be almost impossible for the computer to identify the pattern with any accuracy.
We tried every decryption key on record in case Professor Galen was using some kind of code, but we still can't make heads or tails of him.
Were the Iridians able to get the number blocks?
At least some of them. It's impossible to know how many.
Apparently, the Iridians knew more about the professor's work than we do. They may have known what these numbers mean.
Well, if they did, that information died with them.
Not necessarily. The Iridians are information dealers. They may have been delivering these number blocks to someone else. Did they send a signal before they were destroyed?
No, sir. We detected no transmissions.
And there were no other ships in the vicinity.
Picard's brow furrows as he struggles to find an explanation. He rises from the table, then turns to face his officers.
Did the shuttle's flight logs show where Galen had been before coming to the Enterprise?
Yes, sir. The logs indicate Professor Galen visited an unexplored star system, Rua 4.
What's the distance from our present position?
4 days at warp 6, sir.
The conference can wait. Set a course for the Rua system.
With the order given, Enterprise sets course and Julie arrives at Rua 4.
Standard orbit, Ensign.
Rua 4 is a Class M planet. 67% of its surface is covered with water. Its landmass contains multiple animal species, including a genus of proto-hominids.
Scan for earthworks and monuments that might indicate a previous civilization.
There is nothing to indicate former occupancy by even a primitive culture, sir.
Then what was the foremost archaeologist in the Federation doing here? He left the Enterprise in a Vulcan ship for Deep Space 4, and then an Al-Lian transport to Kyaer, and then the shuttle to Indri 8. Mr. Data, what do we know about Indri 8?
The Indri system was first identified by Federation vessels nearly 60 years ago. The 8th planet is L-class. It is covered with deciduous vegetation, unexplored, with no apparent evidence of civilizations, either past or present. The planet possesses no animal life whatsoever.
Number 1, we will proceed to Indri 8.
With all due respect, sir, we've already run into one dead end. Indri 8 doesn't seem much more promising. And we're late for the conference on Italia 7.
I'm aware of the Federation's timetable, Number 1. Professor Galen visited here a few days ago, and he was on his way to Indri 8 when he was killed. There is some connection between these two planets. I'm going to find it.
Aye, sir. Ensign, lay in a course for Indri 8, warp 7.
Engine nacelles glowing, Enterprise plunges back into deep space. Blocks of figures scroll across Picard's monitor.
Come.
How's it going?
I thought that if I stared at these number blocks long enough, then I would begin to see some kind of pattern. So far, nothing.
I meant, how's it going with you?
He looks tense as he stands and stretches.
If I had gone with him.
Captain, you can't start thinking like that. You didn't abandon him. You chose not to abandon a lifelong career. It was the right decision and in no way responsible for his death.
I realize that.
I know how much the professor meant to you and how much you want to find out what happened. But staring at these numbers isn't going to bring him back. The conference on Italia 7 has been scheduled for 6 months. Starfleet is relying on your mediation efforts.
Counselor, this is not simply a case of me taking the Enterprise and its crew on some wild goose chase to purge myself of guilt and remorse. I will not let Galen's death be in vain. Now, if that means inconveniencing a few squabbling delegates for a few days, then so be it. I will take the full responsibility.
With new resolve, he sits back down at the computer.
Captain?
Troy leaves, looking deeply concerned as Picard settles back to his task.
We are about to enter the Indri system, sir.
Riker to Picard. We are approaching Indri 8.
On my way.
Sensors are picking up severe atmospheric fluctuations on the planet.
Assume a high orbit.
On screen, Mr. Worf.
Some sort of plasma reaction is consuming the lower atmosphere.
Can we stop it?
No, sir. The reaction is global.
All life on the planet is being destroyed, sir.
They watch helplessly as the lush planet fades to a dull, lifeless brown.
Why would anyone want to destroy all the life on an uninhabited neutral planet with no strategic importance whatsoever?
All the life. Perhaps the professor's number blocks had something to do with organic matter.
If we narrow the search parameters to the biological database, it might increase the chances of the computer finding a match.
I'll be in the lab.
Pattern match found.
Specify.
The number blocks are mathematical representations of fragments of deoxyribonucleic acid strands.
DNA fragments?
Each a different life form from 19 different worlds.
The planets that these fragments are from are scattered across the quadrant. No wonder it took the professor so long to collect them. But why?
Wait a minute. These fragments all seem to have similar protein configurations. They may be chemically compatible.
But how can that be possible? They're different species from different planets. There should be no compatibility at all.
I know. But look at the base pair combinations. They're uniform. If I'm right. Computer, connect the DNA fragments according to protein link compatibility.
Strands flip across the screen and form a pattern.
What is it?
I have no idea.
This is not part of a natural design, Captain. This is part of an algorithm, coded at the molecular level.
An algorithm? Are you saying that these DNA fragments are elements in some kind of computer program?
I know how it sounds, but there's no way this could be a random formation. This is definitely part of a program.
This fragment has been part of every DNA strand on Earth since life began there, and the other fragments are just as old. Someone must have written this program over 4 billion years ago.
So 4 billion years ago, someone scattered this genetic material into the primordial soup of at least 19 different planets across the galaxy.
The genetic information must have been incorporated into the earliest life forms on these planets and then passed down through each generation.
But why would anyone do this in the first place?
And what was this program designed to do?
Well, we couldn't know that until we assembled the entire program and ran it. We've tried all of the DNA material in the Federation computer, but we haven't been able to come up with any compatible protein configurations.
Then they must be from worlds outside the Federation. Mr. Data, how many people on the Enterprise are from non-Federation planets?
17, sir.
You know, this may be a long shot, but we should check each one of these 17 people to see if they have the correct protein configuration.
I'll begin collecting DNA samples now.
You know, Captain, I've been thinking somebody else must know about this program. I bet one of the missing fragments was on Indri 8.
That's why it was destroyed.
To keep us from finding that piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4 billion years old, a computer program from a highly advanced civilization. And it's hidden in the very fabric of life itself. Whatever information this program contains could be the most profound discovery of our time. Or the most dangerous. And the professor knew that.
As Enterprise orbits the now dead planet, Picard and Crusher continue their calculations.
They all came up negative.
Well, I have been through every page of the professor's published works, looking for some clue as to where to go next. So far, nothing.
Maybe we've been at this too long. Why don't we get some sleep and start again tomorrow morning?
Picard suddenly frowns.
I was in the neighborhood. When I asked the professor why he went all the way to Curl, he said, I was in the neighborhood. Doing what?
Collecting DNA samples.
They both grab their handheld terminals.
There's only one planet in the Curlan system capable of supporting life, Loran 3.
No, there is no Loran 3 sample from the data downloaded from the professor's shuttle. If he did have one, it must have been taken by the Iridians when they attacked.
Mr. Data, set a course for Loran 3, maximum warp.
Aye, sir.
Picard's look is determined as Enterprise flashes across space.
We are approaching the Lorne system.
Slow to half impulse, take us into orbit above the third planet.
There is a good chance that our competition may be here before us. Battle stations, Mr. Worf.
Aye.
We are now entering orbit.
On screen. You are right, Captain. We've got company, Cardassians.
They are hailing us.
On screen.
My name is Kull Orsech. Identify yourself and state your business in this star system.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Federation Starship Enterprise. And I see no reason why I should answer to you. Cardassians have no claims in this sector?
I suppose not. But my admittedly hasty estimate shows one Federation starship and two Cardassian war vessels. Perhaps I have miscounted.
Not at all. But we are on a purely scientific mission. You have no reason to interfere with us.
And you have nothing to lose by delaying a purely scientific mission for a few days. I invite you to withdraw.
Captain, Klingon attack cruiser decloaking off the starboard bow. They are hailing us.
This is the Klingon vessel, Matar. What are you doing here?
Picard's face registers the danger his crew now face.
Captain's log supplemental. It seems that we have not one, but two competitors in our attempt to complete Professor Galen's puzzle. I have prevailed upon the Cardassian and Klingon captains to meet with me.
I believe we all know why we're here. If we can admit that, then we can move forward.
We were merely scouting the planet for possible colonization.
A ridiculous story.
What were you doing here, then?
Scientific research.
Ha!
Look, if we try to deceive one another, then we shall get nowhere. I think we all know about Professor Galen's research. And about the computer program composed of DNA fragments.
The warlike aliens shift uncomfortably as the truth is revealed.
I'll take your silence as a confirmation. Now, it stands to reason that none of us have the DNA fragments necessary to complete the program. You were the first to arrive in this system. Do you have an organic sample from the planet below?
Yes. And I will fire on anyone who attempts to obtain another one.
As if we fear Cardassian threats.
I believe that one of you has a fragment from Indri 8.
Yes. And there will be no other samples from Indri 8.
What is that supposed to mean?
He destroyed the biosphere of the planet after he had taken the sample.
Typical Klingon thinking. Take what you want and destroy the rest.
We're all missing some of the fragments, not necessarily the same ones. But unless we combine the ones we have, we will never learn the secret of the program.
There is no secret. It is an ancient weapon design of incredible power. And the Klingon Empire will not allow it to fall into an enemy's hands. Or even a friend's.
A weapon? The Uridian who sold us the information claimed that the program would yield the key to an unlimited power source.
But until we assemble it, we will never know its purpose.
He's right. As far as we know, it might just be a recipe for biscuits.
Biscuits? If that is what you believe, then go back to Cardassia. I will send you my mother's recipe.
How dare you!
Nevyap! Enough! Without cooperation, we will get nowhere.
Again, the pair look chastened.
What do you propose?
If you each bring your samples on board the Enterprise, I will combine them with ours. And then we will all observe the results simultaneously, giving no one the advantage.
And if we refuse?
Then this endeavor dies here, in this room.
Although not best pleased, Kull Orsech and Nudak know there is no choice.
Captain.
The Klingon Nudak steps forward to insert his sample in the computer. A new pattern forms.
Excellent.
Now Kull Orsech steps forward.
There's still one missing piece.
We have surrendered what we had for nothing.
You are remarkably short-sighted, Nudak. We are closer to the answer than we were.
We may be very much closer indeed.
How can that be? We have no idea where to start looking for the missing DNA fragment.
This is a jigsaw puzzle whose pieces are scattered across the galaxy. Doesn't it make it natural to assume that the original designers of the puzzle should want us to find it?
Why else would they have put the pieces in our DNA? And, in turn, wouldn't that suggest that they would try to make it easy for us to find those pieces, that there might be some pattern to the distribution?
The computer might be able to find that pattern.
Doctor, program the computer to analyze the distribution of the pieces that we have, correcting for changes in star configurations over 4 billion years, then extrapolate for the missing piece.
That's going to take several hours to set up and to process. Excuse me.
If you wish, you can stay on board while we wait.
I intend to.
As the three captains exit, Data raises a quizzical eyebrow to Picard. Nudak stomps into 10 forward and heads straight for Data's table.
Good evening, Commander Data.
Captain.
Is there any word yet on the missing fragment?
The computer is processing the data. I will be notified as soon as there is any information.
Commander. Your reputation for physical strength is known even in the Klingon Empire. You are familiar with the Bahat Kul challenge?
I am familiar with many Klingon rituals, including the Bahat Kul.
Nudak grins and sits opposite Data, elbows on the table, hands raised for the test of strength. Data eyes him straight-faced, locks his hands against the challenger's, and easily moves them apart.
Wah! Cha! Wei! More talk!
Data, ignoring the snarling Klingon, keeps working on his palm console. Nudak grabs Data by the tunic, headbutts him, but rebounds several feet.
My upper spinal support is a polyalloy designed to withstand extreme stress. My skull is composed of cortenide and duranium.
I understand your intellectual prowess is equally impressive. If I were to learn of the results from the computer search before the others, the Klingon Empire would have a strategic advantage. A being of your abilities would go far in the Empire.
You were attempting to bribe me.
Not at all.
You suggested a plan that would work to your advantage, one that I would be capable of executing. You then implied a reward. Clearly, you were...
Commander, never mind.
Data, the episode dismissed, immediately returns to his computer. In engineering, LaForge notices something strange.
The hell? Computer, run a level 3 diagnostic on the primary defensive systems. LaForge to Captain Picard.
What is it, Geordi?
You might want to come down here. I found something that I think you should see.
The captains gather for Crusher's analysis.
The computer has completed its analysis.
The computer was able to extrapolate this geometric pattern based on the distribution of the fragments. Computer, highlight the section of the missing pattern. The missing DNA fragment should be in this system.
The star is in sector 21459, the Ramazad system.
As the news is announced, Gul Aset is transported, and the Cardassian ships fire on Enterprise and the Klingons.
Direct hit on our port nacelle. They are powering up for another volley.
Let's make it look good. Ensign, release the inertial dampers.
Aye, sir.
They are firing.
The Enterprise now rocks as the next salvo hits. Captain Picard arrives on the bridge.
Report, number one.
The power boosted the structural integrity field protected the nacelles. We used the inertial dampers to simulate complete shield failure.
It is fortunate that your engineer discovered Gul Oset's attempt to tamper with your defensive systems. Matar, status.
Minor damage to starboard nacelle. We will be operational in less than 1 hour.
What? You incompetent Topa! You were supposed to be prepared!
The Cardassian vessels have set a course for Ramazad.
Well, it won't take them long to realize that Ramizad is the wrong planet. Captain, you're very welcome to join us.
I will go with you.
Ensign, set in a course for the Vilmoran system, warp 9.
Aye, sir.
Engage.
Nacelles flaring, the Enterprise streaks away.
I am scanning all seven planets of the Vilmorin system. None appears to support life.
How can that be? The professor's data depends.
Correction. The second planet shows evidence of an ancient ocean, now dry.
It once supported life.
Yes, and it still may, in a limited fashion, not detectable by our long-range sensors.
Lay in a course, Ensign. Full impulse. Riker to Transporter Room 1.
Captain, we've located a planet that may still support life. We'll know in a minute.
Any sign of the Cardassians?
Not yet, but we don't know how long it'll stay that way.
Acknowledged.
I am reading a small pocket of vegetative life, a primitive lichen growing in a fossilized seabed.
Transporter Room 1, I am programming the coordinates. Stand by.
Picard, Crusher, Worf, and Nudak transport to the surface. The Doctor takes tricorder readings.
There, over there.
They head off into the rocky terrain, Worf leading the way.
Captain, we've got company. I'm ready to pull you out of there.
Wait for my order, number one.
Cardassian figures suddenly materialize in their path.
You dishonorable Toba!
Perhaps we could exchange insults some other time. I'm rather busy now.
Well, it was quite a chase, wasn't it, my friends?
How?
We intercepted several communique between the Iridians and Cardassia. My ship was watching under cloak when Professor Galen's shuttle was attacked.
And you have been shadowing us ever since.
The Romulan nods.
And now the reward. Step clear, please.
I shall destroy the entire rock face and every trace of DNA with it. You will go back to Romulus empty-handed. Your superiors will be quite pleased.
Perhaps we could come to a compromise? You give us the gene code and the Romulans...
The seabed may be only partially fossilized. It could still contain organic material.
Which would still contain the DNA.
Unnoticed by the arguers, Beverly sidles to the rock face.
Now, what do you say to my offer?
How can I be sure you won't kill me if I acquiesce?
I've given you my word.
Etched in stone, no doubt. No deals. There will be no deals as long as I am still alive.
Do not press me.
Beverly scrapes a sample into a test tube and passes it to Picard for tricorder analysis.
Others will also. Many will die.
We have superior numbers.
The program has been activated. I think it's reconfiguring the tricorder.
We will die together, brother. Tashkota.
It's modifying the diode emitter to project something.
Light lances from the tricorder, and a white-robed figure appears. The group falls silent.
You're wondering who we are, why we have done this, how it has come that I stand before you, the image of a being from so long ago. Life evolved in my planet before all others in this part of the galaxy. We left our world, explored the stars, and found none like ourselves. Our civilization thrived for ages. But what is the life of one race compared to the vast stretches of cosmic time? We knew that one day we would be gone, that nothing of us would survive. So we left you. Our scientists seeded the primordial oceans of many worlds where life was in its infancy. The seed codes directed your evolution toward a physical form resembling ours. This body you see before you, which is of course shaped as yours is shaped, for you are the end result. The seed codes also contain this message, which was scattered in fragments on many different worlds. It was our hope that you would have to come together in fellowship and companionship to hear this message. And if you can see and hear me, our hope has been fulfilled. You are a monument, not to our greatness, but to our existence. That was our wish, that you too would know life and would keep alive our memory. There is something of us in each of you, and so something of you in each other. Remember us.
The figure fades away.
That's all? If she were not dead, I would kill her.
The very notion that a Cardassian could have anything in common with a Klingon, it turns my stomach.
Guard to Enterprise.
Standing by, sir.
Captain's log, stardate 46735.2. Our frequent use of high warp over the last few days has overextended the propulsion systems. We're finishing minor repairs before returning to Federation territory.
It's a shame Professor Galen didn't live to see the end result of his study.
I can't think of anyone who would have appreciated it more.
If it hadn't been for you, his dream to solve that puzzle would never have been realized. You left him a wonderful legacy.
Yes, but it would have been a more fitting legacy if the message had not fallen on such deaf ears.
You never know. Well, I have to get this day started.
Both of us.
See you this afternoon.
Riker to Captain Picard.
Incoming transmission from the Romulan command ship.
Put it through.
Acknowledged.
Captain, my ships are leaving orbit for Romulan space. Until our next encounter.
Until then.
It would seem that we are not completely dissimilar after all. In our hopes, or in our fears.
Picard smiles.
Yes.
Well then, perhaps one day.
One day.
As the stern-faced Romulan vanishes from the screen, Jean-Luc Picard seems to be almost offering a prayer as he clutches one of the figurines from Professor Galen's gift to him. The end.